This is Victrios.
Let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. And then we'll read from verse 1 to 14. It's a long read. Exodus chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. You don't want to give me NIV today. Okay, let's do this. Because there will be a lot of thee and thus there. Okay, so let's go. Just, if you hear the D's and D's and you start getting, it's you. Exodus 1 and 1. The Bible says, now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. Joseph was already was in Egypt already. Verse 6. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. I speak over somebody. You will grow. You will become exceeding mighty. Especially in places that you are now weak, especially in places that you have been despised, especially in places that you seem to have little, I declare over you, you will increase. Because if there is anything we need to know about our God, is a God of increase. God is a God that where he meets you, he will not leave you where he meets you. You can come to God however you want, but God will not leave you the way he met you. And therefore, I'm declaring before to somebody that the way 2018 met you, 2018 is not going to leave you like that. You will be better than when you came here. In the name of Jesus. So the Bible said they increased and became numerous, that the land was filled with them. Verse 8. Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing. Oh, you gave me 9 now. Thank you. Came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly. You know, that's a very kind word of saying, must deal with them hardly. With them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So it's not today that some people have been against immigrants, but all the time they have failed. Well, I'm not going to be political at this moment. Let me just continue like that. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Python and Ramesses. Store cities for Pharaoh. And sometimes when you read cities like this in the Bible, you know what it does? It validates the scriptures. Because sometimes some people think we read Bible stories. They think Bible is a fairy tale. I think I was watching a movie the other day and somebody was trying to disprove God. I was like, the child came home and was telling the father that I heard one thing in the Bible. And the father said it like, well, it's like a fictional thing. No. When you hear names like these are names that you can go and check in history. These are places. It's not, they didn't make it up. Some of them, they may not exist by that name, but they existed sometime in history. So if you go back, then you'll be able to compare notes and find out that the Bible is very true. So, but the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. I declare that the things that wanted to consume you, the things that wanted to conquer you, you will conquer those things. Amen. I thought somebody would say amen. Amen. And so the Bible said they walked them ruthlessly. And then verse 14, it said they made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the field. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians walked them ruthlessly. We've been talking about expected end. And sometimes life is just like a race. You hear the word, on your marks, get set, go. In some people's mind, when they hear that go, they think they will just show up on the finish line. You know, just hear go, boom, like Usain Bolt. You are on the finish line, 9 point something seconds. You know, how I wish life was like that. How I wish life was like a sprint. That once you hear, go, January 1st, by January 30, every New Year resolution, every prayer you have prayed, every door you are knocking on. How I wish that as soon as January 15 comes, everything is on your laps. How I wish. But it's not always like that. Life always has what you call contours. Life always has what you call detours. Life always has what you call ups, and it also has what you call downs. There are all kinds of things that happen in life. And sometimes when people find themselves in these hard places, they begin to question the fact that, is God for me at all? Is God, did God send me here? Why am I here? Why are all these things happening? But I want to let you understand that those things that have come against you, they are not come against you to overcome you. They have come against you so that you use them as stepping stone to the next level. In the name of Jesus. So many times there is growling, there is groaning. In fact, many of the times those guys that start the race, they have to groan, they have to put a lot of pressure on themselves to be able to make it to the end, because the anointing or the enablement or the power to start may be easy, but the power to continue usually is the one that is missing. Most times people don't have a problem with starting. Most times people don't have a problem with starting a good thing, having a New Year resolution. January starts, everybody is in high spirit. But wait until later on, people start going into low spirit, so to say. In the gym, I think, was I reading in a book or I heard somebody say this? He said one day he went to the gym, it was in January, and he saw that there were almost all the machines were all taken. There was no machine to use. Every machine was occupied. And he was wondering, when did our gym become this popular? I think he went to meet one of the staffs at the gym and said, excuse me, I don't even have any machine to use. He says, I'm sorry. That's what usually happens in January. Just come, if you can skip January or come at a later time in the day, that would be okay. But by the time it's February, you won't have any problem, because many people will have fizzled out. Many people would have stopped. And many times in the journey of life, that's how many people's stories are. They started well, they began well, but they don't continue well because they didn't know that journey was going to require more. I have come to tell somebody this morning that the marriage will require extra. I've come to tell somebody this morning that career will inspire extra. Sometimes even having babies will require extra. I remember the first time I had our first baby. I was like, they did not tell us this one when we were getting married. In marriage and counseling, even the parents, they did not tell us this one. They would just say, you have the baby. And they didn't tell us that when you get into what they call the labor room, that place is like another room. They don't measure all your BP and all of that kind of thing. But if they did for the man or the people that are in with the woman, I'm sure it will be through the roof, because people are anxious. They're like, are you kidding me? Is this my wife? Oh, Lord, I won't do this again. I made all kinds of promises. The first child, I was just like, no, I'm not coming back here again. No. What was all this? With all the prayer that I prayed, come on, look at this. And I think one time, I summoned courage. I wanted to be, you know, scriptural and brotherly and pastorly. So I told my wife, because we had planned that when baby is about to come, we had a speaker. We're going to put a phone inside it, and it was going to be playing music. I brought this stuff. It was in the car. But I never meant to pick it up. So somewhere along the line, I told my wife, I think I told her to be saying Jesus. She looked at me like this. You better be saying that Jesus. You are telling me to say Jesus. You say the Jesus. Let anything that wants to happen, happen. But get this baby out of me. You know, even godly people, when they get into those kind of places, things change a little bit. I think it was another baby. I told my wife, they were saying they should breathe. I felt like I could be like the doctor. She gave me the look like, please. You don't even know what this breathing thing means. So life usually is like that. You start very well, but then you get to that place, you're like, they didn't tell me this was part of it. They didn't tell me that America will look like this. I'm sure some people have said that. They Hey, what we saw in the movies is different. Coming to America, what we saw is different. This is different. They didn't tell me medical school will look like this. They didn't tell me getting a degree will look like this. They didn't tell me getting a job, getting a wife, whatever you are looking for, they didn't tell me it will look like this. But I have come to tell you that it doesn't always have to look the way it is looking right now. God is a God of change. God is a God of change. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
So in the story of Exodus chapter 1 that we are reading. Exodus chapter 1 really didn't start from Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1 was a promised end, was an expected end that was promised in Genesis 15. Let's look at it. Genesis 15. Genesis 15 and verse 13. And today, if you want to title what I'm talking about, demand it. You can put that. Demand an expected end. Demand it. Exodus 1 to 14 did not start from there. It started from Genesis 15, 13. The Bible says, then the Lord said to him, this is God speaking to Abraham. He says, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. He just said strangers. I mean, strangers is okay. I mean, it's okay to be a stranger. If I go to another person's house, I'm a stranger there. That's okay. It's okay to be a stranger, but God didn't give the details. Have you not noticed that many times when God is saying go somewhere, he just tells you the summary. He doesn't give the details. He doesn't tell you that this wife that you have prayed for me to marry, you don't get the full picture, so to say. It's when you get the wife home and you unpack it and you say, God Almighty, help thou son. Help your son. You know, some people feel like, wow, I've been duped. No, you are not duped. They were not duped. That's the wife. Because some people will wish they can go back and say, excuse me, this is not the wife. The wife I wanted to marry, this is not her. I know her when I see her. She's the one. She's the one. So God told Abraham, he said, I'm going to tell you, you're going to go to a country, a strange land. He said, you'll just be strangers there. Very mild, very kind. He said, not in their own country. He says, then they will be enslaved or they will do some things to them and they will mistreat them there. I mean, mistreat can be they will just insult them. They will come to work and some of them will say, you, why are you looking like that? You know, that looks mild. But if you read Exodus chapter 1 and you see what they did to them, oh, they made life terrible for them. They made life so, so terrible for them. And sometimes I ask myself that, like you must have asked yourself too, that why does God lead people into hard places? Why is it that where God leads people, some of the roads where God leads people, there's difficulty there? Can't God remove the difficulty? Is he not the God of the whole earth? Is he not the God that can do the impossible? Can't he not make them to go through the difficulty? He knows that the difficulty will make you to groan. It will make you to grumble. It will make you to gripe. But he also knows that the difficulty has the potential of making you to grow. He knows that inside of the pain, there can be gain. He knows that sometimes when life is very difficult, people get better perspective. Then people get lessons. People reflect. Sometimes when people are on a roller coaster, they are just moving on one speed and everything is hunky-dory. Sometimes people are not reflexive. Sometimes people, they are not able to take stock. They are not even able to appreciate what is going on. And so once in a while, there will be that down. Once in a while, there will be that bump in the road. Once in a while, you will find yourself in a strange country and they will be mistreating you. You'll find yourself in a strange country on your job. You'll find yourself in a strange country in your marriage. There are some people, they are asking themselves, is this the marriage that I always had? It's strange to me. Is this the child that I gave birth to? It's strange to me. Is this the job that I started? It's strange to me. Is this what I signed up for? This is not what I signed up for. But I've come to tell you that don't waste the pain. There may be something to gain from there. There may be something that God wants to bring out from there. Because out of the ashes, God can bring forth beauty. And I declare over you this morning that in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, that out of your ashes, beauty will come forth. I thought somebody would say a bigger amen.
Amen.
So our journeys can have detours. Our journeys can have contour. But there is a promise of God that I'd like to read to you this morning. Isaiah chapter number 42 and verse 2. Isaiah 42 and verse 2.
I think, can you start from 1? Or is it 43? Maybe my reference is wrong here. Let's do 43. I think it's 43. Isaiah 43, 2. Are we there? Yes. Isaiah 43, 2. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Can somebody say amen to that? Oh, there are waters of life. It looks like it wants to drown you. You want to choke. Sometimes you are like, how will I see tomorrow? How will tomorrow come? I don't know if you've been there before. I've been there before. That I'm just like, would there be any other day after today? Would there be another better day than today? It's like everything bad is like happening now. It's like things are getting worse and worse and worse. How will it? Look at what the word of God says. It says, when you pass through waters, I will be with you. Can I say that to somebody this morning? Amen. I say, when you pass through waters, God will be with you. Amen. Hey, now, some people will say, well, waters are just elementary problem. What about sophisticated problem? He said, when you pass through rivers, I will be with you. Amen. So he said, when you pass through, I like this one. Let's leave it at this. Did you change the number, the version? It's the same thing. Okay, just different view. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you. They will not overcome you. Then the next one was, when you walk through fire, you will not be burned. I declare over you, every fire that the devil has set up to extinguish you, to burn you, to destroy you, they will not be able to hurt you. Amen. They will not be able to harm you. He said, the flame will not set you ablaze. It will not. It will not. And many times, the things that you are thinking are against you are working for you. You know, we read in Romans chapter 8 and 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good. God knows how to use all things as ingredient for good. God is like a cook. He's like a chef. When you look at the chef cooking, or when you look at them making all the pastry and making all the beginning part, it looks messy. I remember the other day I came home and I opened the fridge, a refrigerator. I saw something inside. It looked like one of these things that they eat in Africa. You know, very hard. I touched it like that. I'm like, who wants to eat all this? This is big deal, you know. But I didn't know that they were trying to make gingerbread. Gingerbread cookie, not cake. Okay, gingerbread cookie. But I just saw the thing. It looked like swallow. Some of you that are from Africa. That's how it looked. Very hard, but it was hard one. I know some people eat that kind of one. God help you. God help you. So when I saw it, I was like, what is this? I just thought somebody, they were just feeling like they are so hungry and they made something to eat and they couldn't finish it. But I forgot about it. But later I found out that it was for cookies. And this shapeless, this useless, so to say, something now became a cookie that kids were painting and they were looking really good. I'm declaring over you, what is shapeless now? What doesn't look like anything now? God is using it together to come out for your good in the name of Jesus. So we know all things work together for good. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. God is with you. You can go through it. You can fish it. You can make it. It will not drown you. It's part of the plan. Yes, God is there with you. Many times when you think that things are terrible and things are awkward and things are difficult for you, it does not mean absence of God. It may just be that God is using it to get you to your next level. And you will get there in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, so there are things that are difficult. Now, what happens to most people is when we get to this difficult stage, human beings, we have the tendency to cope. We have what is called coping mechanisms. So we begin to cope. We begin to adapt. We begin to get used to it. And somebody said, when the obtainable or when the desirable is not obtainable, people now make the obtainable the desirable. If we cannot get what we are looking for, why don't we just sit down with what we have gotten? I mean, that's what people say.
And I get the sense of being grateful with what you have. I mean, that's why I told you to shout hallelujah several times this morning. It's good to be grateful. It's good to understand that what I have, God gave it to me. I should appreciate what I have. I believe the spirit of appreciation, that if you appreciate what you have, it will increase. But I also know from scripture that what I have may not be all that God has, may not be all that God wants for me. I should not be contented. I think I heard the choir singing one song. I don't know if they wanted to sing it. That I will not settle for less. There are many people, when January started, they had more in their picture. They were seeing so many things. But as the year moves down, they begin to revise the plan. They begin to say, well, let's take this off. And some things rightfully so should be taken off. Some things rightfully so, you just cooked it off. It's not supposed to be part of the plan. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, there are some things that are still part of the plan that it will not, you are going to have to go for it violently. You are going to have to charge towards it with all your strength, because the fact that God has promised, because the fact that God has declared it, does not mean it's going to fall to you just like that. God told Abraham, Genesis 15:13, I will make your people be a stranger in a particular land. God said it. And remember, this was a tradition that was oral. They didn't used to write. They wrote a little bit, but there wasn't too many. Whatever they write was not popular like this. So not everybody had a Bible. Not everybody knew. So how they passed information down was orally. They would say it to themselves. So Abraham started saying it. God said, my people will go into a strange land. They will be strangers there for 400 years. And after 400 years, God said, I will bring them out. I will punish the nation that disturbed them there. So they have been passing that from generation to generation. Even Moses, at the time they gave birth to Moses, because remember Moses, when he was giving birth to, they did one kind of arrangement such that even though it was Pharaoh that raised him, but Pharaoh raised him through his mother. So his mother already indoctrinated him and probably had told him this, that the Lord said, I've known for a certain, for 400 years, your descendants will be strangers. This is that strange land. This is not the land that God wants for us. This is that strange land. So they must have told Moses all of this. They must have told Moses all of this. Or they must have been saying all of this. But you would have thought, because God said it, it would just happen like that. But ladies and gentlemen, because God said it does not mean it will happen like that. Because God has declared it, because there is an expected end, because the end is for you, it does not mean it will happen like that. So for you to make it to that end, just like in a relay race, for you to start at the finish, at the start line and end at the finish line, you need to make demands. You need to make demand on your body in that race. You need to make other demands. You need to make mental demands. I'm sure sometimes when people are running, there will be something that will be telling them, forget about it. You have lost this race. So they will have to be contending with some mental images in their mind to say, no, I can make it to the end. Have you not seen some races that the distance between the first and the second is almost negligible? It's like microseconds. Because somebody did not mentally give up. Somebody just kept pushing on. And I declare concerning somebody this morning, that spirit that wants to make you give up is broken over you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You will not give up in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, when you are faced with difficulty, the tendency for you is to cave in, is to say, well, you know what, we'll revise the plan. But I still want you to understand that this morning, that original idea, that thing God told you, there are so many things God tells people when they are young. The more they grow up, they start saying, well, I'm facing reality now. Some of us had dreams. We wrote things down when we were young. We said we're going to be this. We said we're going to be that. And it was not just that we're saying any random thing, because I know sometimes we say things that we're just kidding. You know, I would just have all the money in the world, you know, and I will not give you my friend because you are playing with one of your friends and the person who wants to share their toy with you, you tell them, well, one day I'm going to have all the money in the world. I'll buy all the toys in the world and I will not give it to you. No, I'm not talking about that. There are things that it seems God inspired inside of you. But as you grow older, those things, reality dawns on you and you begin to revise them. But this morning I'm saying you need to dust your books. You need to go back to those things and you need to look them again, because God is about to make them happen. In the name of Jesus. So we must resist the temptation to quit. We must resist the temptation to quit. You remember that when we started this whole story of Moses, Abraham, we started really talking about Abraham. But the story of Abraham really didn't start with Abraham. In Genesis 11, the father of Abraham wanted to go to Canaan's land. And somewhere along the line, the father of Abraham, Terah, just got complacent or got like, you know what, I don't think I can make it there. And he gave up. So the idea to go to Canaan's land was not originally Abraham's own. That's why there are some things that God has given to you. If you don't run with it, if you don't stay with it, if you don't hold on to God with it, sometimes you may lose it to another person. Because God will never be stranded. God always has a substitute. I remember when Saul died and David was weeping over Saul. God told David, he said, Lord, why are you weeping over Saul? Why are you weeping? I mean, Samuel was, before Saul died, when Saul had been misbehaving, Samuel was bemoaning and was weeping. And God told him, he said, look, don't forget about Saul. I have a replacement for Saul. I can never be held hostage. If you drop the ball, somebody else will pick the ball. I want you to say loud and clear. Raise up your hands to heaven. Say, God, by your help, every ball that you have given to me, I will not drop them. In the name of Jesus. So there will be temptation to quit. You'll be faced with the option to take what is obtainable. But no, that desirable, that thing, that picture that God painted in your heart is still possible. What God said in the beginning of the year, I know it's December 9th. I know we are almost finishing the year, but it's still possible. I know that in your life, some people, God told them some things, and it seemed that, well, my age now, I have passed that age. Don't count yourself out. There are people, I was still reading a testimony of a 60-year-old woman that had been married 34 years. She had a baby. Come on. I declare over you that that thing God has said will happen for you. Amen. Don't give up. Don't give in. Oh, sometimes what you want, other people may get it faster than you. Maybe that's their lane. Sometimes you will get it a little later than them. But you should, when you get yours, it will still be beautiful. Because God makes everything beautiful in his own time. So when you get yours, it will still be beautiful. So still go for it. Don't revise the plan. Don't say that, oh, no. Maybe God will do it through some other people. No, God still wants to do it for you. So when the desirable is not obtainable, I said some people go for the obtainable. You don't have to make the obtainable the desirable. So you can, what you can do to make sure that you get from that start line to the finish line is to place demands. Place demands. Place demand on your time. Place demand on your time. Some of us, the way we have used our time, we have not used it as a good convertible resource. Everybody is giving 24 hours, but how are you using yours? The reason why a year is different is not because you shouted Happy New Year. It's what you do with time. It's how you convert time. Some people are still going to be like this in 2019. It's not course. It's because of the way they are using time. There's nothing, you are not placing any demand on time. You are not pushing. Some people say, we are too busy. We are too this. You are too that. You know, see, if you don't place demand on time, if you don't place demand on the resource of time, it will not give you the necessary returns. If you just leave it as ki sera sera. Remember that song that I heard several years ago? I asked for the meaning. They say, what will be, will be. You know, some people live like that. What will be, will be. If God has said it will be so, it will be so. Can I tell you the truth? There are many things God said it will be so that are not going to be so. Because the people that should make it so, they have gone to sleep. I'm sure I've said this story here before. That some two people, they went to some guy to pray for them or some guy to look into the future for them. You know, fortune teller. And one, they told him, you are going to be very successful. You are going to make it. Like some people like to hear, you know. You're going to make it. And the other one, they told you are going to struggle. It's going to be really hard for you. So the guy they told was going to make it, said, when I'm going to make it, what else? Just go home, relax, and just make it. He went to relax. The guy they told was going to have a hard life. You know what the guy did? He said, well, I would at least die by trying. I will put some effort.
I will apply myself. I will demand. I'll make demands of my time. I will find courses I can do online. I will do anything I can do. I will just not stay the same way. I will not believe that there are no options for me. I want to let you know, it does not matter what level of life you are today. There are options. There are options. Don't believe what people have told you. Oh, if they come like this, then it's a big lie of the devil. There are options. There are options. So this guy exercised himself, pushed himself. Several years later, the guy became very rich. The guy they told will make it was super. He was so broke. And they later went back to the guy. I said, what happened? He said, look, it's a potential thing that I told you about. You people are the one that will not work out the potential. Potential doesn't work itself out. You do something about potential. And I pray for somebody listening to me today that you will do something about your time in the name of Jesus. So you will have to make demand on your time. In 2019, make demand on your time. Don't use your time anyhow. Use your time usefully. I like one of the things that I think iPhone started doing now. They started telling us how long we are staying on the phone. Some people, even in church, you are still on the phone. And what are you doing there? You are not using that phone to make money. It's not making anything for you. Just tap, tap, tap. You like their picture. Oh, look at her, she's smiling. Tap. Oh, look at her head. Tap. You are tapping. You are helping somebody to make money, but you are not using that time to help yourself. Because you know all the taps you are tapping on Instagram is paying Instagram. You know that? These guys are the richest people in town. Sometimes you'll be like, your tap is the how. It's your viewership. That's your YouTube time that you're always going on YouTube. Let's watch. You know, some people, they like soccer. And I don't have a problem with that. You know, but these guys have been paid. You are watching these guys, and these guys are stinkingly rich. If they do like this, it's $1 million. And some people are breaking their head. Why did he not do that? This guy is like, why will I keep myself? If I break this leg, who will spend the money? I will just play. There will be another day so that they will come back and watch the game again. Make demands on your time. Also, make demands on your relationships. Make demands. Move from the start line to the finish line, you will make demand on relationships. There are relationships God will send your way. If you don't make demand on it, it will not deliver for you. Do you know there are some people that have people that can save them, but they don't know how to make demands on those relationships? They don't ask the right questions. Some people hang around people that can give them things. They will just hang around them. They don't ask the right questions. They don't make the right demand. Or when they make demand, they make small demands. They don't make demands of almost like, teach me how to fish. They ask for fish. You ask for something substantial. Make demands on the relationship. God will send people into your life. The story of Moses was a story of making demand on relationships. Look at how Moses survived. They put him in the bush. They put him in the basket, threw him in the water. And somebody found him. And when the person found him, somebody quickly went there. Moses' sister. I said, excuse me, ma. Can I find for you somebody who will take care of him? Making a demand. Somebody else will have said, well, God. They will stay somewhere at home and say, God, please, let Moses survive. Yes, God has answered that prayer. But you have to make some demands. You have to make some demand on relationships. You have to make some demand on the kind of friendships and relationships you have. If you don't have relationships that you can make demand on, because some people have relationships that is only making demand from them. It's a parasitic relationship. Run from it. In 2019, unfriend. Amen. Unfollow. In the name of Jesus. So make demand on your time. Make demand on relationships. Make demand on resources. There is no resource that God has given you that you cannot make, that God cannot make it multiply. In the story of Joseph said there's going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. He said, but we can prepare for the years of famine with the years of plenty. I have said this before. There is no level of income that cannot make you rich. There's probably no level of income. If you get money, there is no level of income. I told you this story before, that when I was in Nigeria, excuse me, I used to be, I think I'm still an engineer in that kind of stuff. But I used to work in an engineering company. And most of those young boys at that company, we were making probably times 10 of some of the lower staffs. I mean, literally times 10. Because sometimes when these guys tell you what they have been paid, you're like, really? That's what some of us go and used to spend on weekends or, you know, just enter a restaurant, just, yeah, boys, that's what we spend. But these guys, they will have 4 kids. 3 of them will be in college, and they'll be living in their house. We, the engineers, we only had our clothes. Some of us were not even living in our, some people were even living with their friends. Some people were living in their family house and things like that. We didn't have things. Why? Not because of what we made, but because of what we're doing with what we made. I want you to begin to think about what you are doing with what the resources God is bringing your way. Are you wasting it? Are you squandering it? Are you using your resources so that it will not be useful after today? So we can make demand. But you see, the greatest demand, ladies and gentlemen, you and I can make is the demand on God. We can make demand on God. God has put himself at our disposal to make demands on him. God told these guys, in this story that we started reading from Exodus chapter 1, which started from Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, that I will make you spend 400 years there. But they eventually spent 430 years there. What accounted for the difference between that 400 and 430 years? It's because somebody did not make demands. They were just okay. They were okay. They started coping with it. They were not expecting. They were not pushing. They were not demanding for that expected end. They were not demanding. But after a while, I think something pushed them to demand. And the greatest demand, even though you can make demand on time, make demand on relationships, make demand on resources, the greatest demand, ladies and gentlemen, you and I can make is our demand on God. The demand that we make on God. We can make demands on him in prayer. I'm very excited what has been happening lately on our prayer line. I want us to keep it up. I see a lot of us are joining. Some people are not joining. Some people join and then they leave the phone there and do other things, or maybe go back to sleep, because we notice that they are still there, you know, at 20 minutes after the prayer has ended. And I'm like, really? Are you there or not there? Well. We will not go there too much. But we are glad you've joined. It's okay. You are better than the people that didn't join at all, you know. But we know that you were there till 6:44. We saw that. But so what I'm saying this morning, as I put it together, is this: make demands. Make demands. And the greatest one you can do is make demand on God. Make demand on God. And you make that demand by praying. By praying. The Bible said in Matthew 11:12, it says the kingdom of God had been advancing by violence, and violent men have been taking it by force. There is an element of force to the fulfillment of destiny, and that force you put it into use, not in the physical, you put it into use in the spiritual, you put it into use in the place of prayer. If some of us continue the way we are doing our life will be a shadow of what God has for it. That's why you have to pray. You have to pray. Somebody say, if you don't pray, you become the prey of the devil. You have to pray. We have to understand that God has given himself to us, and he wants us to call upon him. I like this scripture, Mark 11, and I'll close with this. Mark 11, from verse 23. Mark 11, 23. It says, for truly I say to you, that anyone that says to this mountain, throw itself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for God in prayer, there is blank check that you can demand God to get into action via the vehicle of prayer. You can demand God to get into action via the vehicle of prayer. And we have a unique opportunity every weekday morning to do that. So if you want to get to that expected end, there needs to be demands. You need to make demands on God so that you will get to that expected end. My prayer for you this morning is that the plans of God for your life will be fulfilled. Amen. In the name of Jesus. I want you to bow down your heads to God this morning. And I want you to speak to him.
I want you to speak to him. And the thing I want you to just ask is that God to remove distractions, things that have been distracting you from moving towards where God wants you to go. Especially things that have been distracting you from making the necessary demands. The demand on your time, the demand on resources, and the demand on God in the place of prayer. Everything that has been distracting you, I want you to receive help this morning. Father, in the name of the Lord, we all together this morning receive help from the things that distract us. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Can somebody say a bigger amen?
Amen.
All right, we're about to give now as we close the service. The offering envelopes will be passed. Victory Land, the new church building, we are almost there. Can somebody say a bigger amen?
Amen.
But we still need your help. We need a lot of help. Even to get the building, we are 60% into the funds we need. Maybe 65% into the funds we need to get there. And you know, getting there is not the only thing. You need to get it ready. And somebody may be asking, oh, Pastor, why are you looking for a bigger church? In this church, we can still find spaces to sit here. Can I tell you the truth? If you don't create the room for more, more will not come. You have to create room for more. And there's a lot of things we can do. There's many, many, many things we can do. And you know the truth of the matter is that if we move into that new land, our expenses will almost be less than this one that we're spending now. This place that is not our own, where sometimes it will be raining when there's no rain outside. We should not stay here. It's not the best use of God's resources. So please, if you have given before, thank you for giving. But we are calling on you again. Please give more. If you have not given before concerning Victory Land campaign, please, this is the time to give. They said this is the season to be merry, to be jolly, to be giving, right? So let's use this season to give to God. So package your offerings together. Package your offerings together. And you can give by the ways you can see on the screen. And by the way, this giving option, especially the electronic one, are always available all throughout the week. So if somebody is saying, well, Pastor E, you know what? I'm going to get paid sometime this week. I'm going to give towards Victory Land. Yes, you can take a picture of that screen. And you can do something during the week. We will be glad you did that. Help us finish well. We have put December 31st as the date of closing. And I know under God, we'll be ready by that day. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
All right. So we're counting on God, and God is going to use you. All right. If you have your offerings together, I want us to, we're going to speak to our offering. And I think the worship team has a song for us. We'll sing together, we'll drop our offering, and we'll be on our way home. If you have your offerings, I want you to just speak to it this morning. Just declare, send it on an errand. Tell it to go on an errand for you. Tell it that in the name of Jesus, this offering is going to come back. Good measure, press down, shaking to God, get down. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the offering of your people. We declare it is blessed. It will be used for your glory. And Lord, in turn, you will bless your people. In Jesus' mighty name. All right. Please, let's stand up as we dance and drop our offering.
God is for me. Nothing can stand against me. God is for me. I will not be moved. nothing can stand against me. God is for me. I will not be moved.
And somebody shout it loud, say, God is for me. Nothing will stand against me. God is for me. The expected hand that he has in mind, I will experience it in the name of Jesus. This week, God will help me to make the right demands on my time, on my resources, on my relationships in the name of Jesus. God will help me to pray this very week in the name of Jesus. My prayer altar, receive fresh fire in the name of Jesus. And as I call on God, he will answer me in the name of Jesus. I want you to find somebody that you can just hold and be a prophet over that person. Sometimes when we come to church, we look good, but some people just need that touch. They need that healing from God. They need God to pass something through you to them. And that's what you are doing today. As you are holding that person, I want you to vision that something that God needs to perfect in them will be perfected in the name of Jesus. Say, my friend, I declare over you, this will be your best week in the name of Jesus. All that concerns you, God will perfect in the name of Jesus. If you need healing, receive it. If you need resources, receive it. If you need direction, receive it. Anything that is lacking, receive it. I declare over you, nothing is missing, nothing is broken, nothing is lacking in the name of Jesus. So please join us tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. I think they passed out the prayer flyers. Please join us. And on Wednesday, we are still having service. Have a wonderful week. God bless you.